Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Satan could not hinder the plan of salvation. Jesus was crucified and arose again the third day. Satan told his angels that he would make even the crucifixion and resurrection tell to his advantage. He was willing that those who profess faith in Jesus should believe that the laws regulating the Jewish sacrifices and offering cease at the death of Christ. If he could push them further and make them believe that the law of the Ten Commandments died also with Christ. Satan told his angel that the Ten Commandments were so plain that many would believe that they were still binding. Therefore, he must seek to corrupt the Fourth Commandment, which brings to view the living God. He led on his representatives to attempt to change the Sabbath and alter the only commandment of the Ten, which brings to view the true God, the maker of heavens and earth. Satan presented before them the glorious resurrection of Jesus and told them that by his rising on the first day of the week, he changed the Sabbath from the seventh to the first day of the week. Thus Satan used the resurrection to serve his purpose. He and his angels rejoiced that the errors that they had prepared took so well with the professed friends of Christ. Satan, working through unconsecrated leaders of the church, tampered with the fourth commandment and essayed to set aside the ancient Sabbath, the day which God had blessed and sanctified, and in its stead to exalt the festival observed by the heathens as the venerable day of the sun. The Lord has clearly defined the road to the city of God, but the great apostate has changed the signpost, setting up a false one, a spurious Sabbath. The enemy of all good has turned the signpost around so that it points to the path of disobedience as the path of happiness. He has thought to change times and laws.
Let us pray. How much grace and Heavenly Father. Once again, Heavenly Father, it's a wonderful time for us to be alive today. As we see Jesus free is riding on just like the Bible predicts. And Father, on every side, men and women should know what is the truth. And if they don't, Father, the time has come for us to study your word. So when you come in the clouds of glory, we'll not be found wanting. So once again, Father, we ask for a double appointment to the Holy Spirit, all the members here today, and also our listeners. And at the end of the program, Father, like in the past, once again, be wished to uplift you from the sin curse. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good afternoon and welcome to Turning Point, a program presented by Turning Point Ministries. Once again, this afternoon, our program is going to take a new format, or a different format, than we regularly do, because we are preparing again for a live call-in show on May the 8th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And for this purpose, we have Renrick Bow. I want to say a guest, but he's been here a couple of times, so I don't call him a guest no more. Mm-hmm. But Renrick Bow and Brother Paul Miller. So I'm going to let each one of them say their greetings to greet you. But before that happens, if you have any questions or comments, you can call us at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can email us at tpministries@hotmail.com. And I'm sure most of you know that we have a website, and you could find programs, both health and spiritual topics, that are dealing with both the Ten Commandments and other topics that we have discussed over the last 4 years that we were in the air. And the email address is www.tpministries.org. And I must also say that if you want to contact any of the participants on the program directly, our email addresses are all on the website, www.tpministries.org. Now, I'm just going to let Brother Bow and Brother Miller just say good afternoon to everybody.
Good afternoon to the nation. It's a pleasure to be back with you all again.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, we're happy to be coming to your radio airwaves today, whether you're in your car, in your home, wherever you might be. That it's wonderful for us to be speaking to you today. We have a free offer that we are offering today for those who might want to call. If you want to know the truth about the Sabbath, the magazine is called A Time of Joy, A Day to Remember. For all those who want to call today, you get a free book, a free magazine. And there are three ways you can get this. You can get it through the mail, we can bring it to you, or you can come for it. The number to call is 322-6273.
All right. Brother Paul, just before we begin, can you just give us a little update on what has been happening and concerning the Ten Commandments Day and Turning Point in general?
Yes, thank you, Brother Julian. You know, we've been excited, ladies and gentlemen, that for the past going on 4 years now, we've been sharing with the nation the importance of looking at God's law once again. And today, it is the beginning of the annual. There's going to be a yearly event known as the Ten Commandments Day. But there's a question that we need to ask. The question is this. Did the commandment say the first day of the week is holy? Well, you should know the answer by now. The answer to that question is no. And the truth about it can be found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8 to 11, where God said the seventh day is holy. But the Ten Commandments Commission chose to celebrate this day, Sunday, as a holy day of rest unto the Lord, bringing to the nation the importance once again that God's Ten Commandment law, which can be found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 17.
Brother Renrick, my first question is to you this afternoon. Are the Ten Commandments still in place today?
Absolutely. If I would ask our listeners to please turn to Matthew chapter 5 and we'll read from verse 17 to verse 19. And Christ himself says that, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And this is a clear statement from Christ to all the world that his law is in place and that is still binding upon mankind, that it has not been passed away.
Brother Paul, Brother Renrick just told us that the Ten Commandments are still binding today. That does mean that the commandment that deals with bearing false witness still is binding to us?
Yes, it is. All ten of them. And that one being bearing false witness to your neighbor is one of the ten, and it's still binding upon all men everywhere today.
Well, we were talking over the weekend. You told me that there was a minister on the air telling the Bahamas that we could eat any kind of meat no matter what. Is this true? Is he bearing false witness?
Yes, he is. As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is quite perfectly clear. Jesus puts it this way. Jesus tells us that he would not alter the things that have gone out of his mouth. Jesus means what he says, ladies and gentlemen, and time has come for us to take Jesus as his word. Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 was given to the nation for a reason, and to the whole world, yeah, I should say. That's Isaiah 45, 22 and 23. Jesus, he will not alter the things that go out of his mouth, and those things will last forever. Now, on the air, like Brother Julian said last week, Sunday, there was a minister that was quoting the text, and he's quoting from the NIV, which is a Bible that must be studied prayerfully and carefully with the Holy Spirit guiding. For which reason the Bible is out, only God will know. But this is what the NIV quote that he was quoting from that day, and that's Romans chapter 14, verses 14, and I quote, "As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, to him it is unclean." Is that true, ladies and gentlemen? Did the Bible say that no food is unclean? That's not true. That's bearing a false witness. Because Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 says the clean animals are those that walk the land that chew the cud and split the foot, and those that are from the sea that have fins and scales. And if you should quote that, if you should get that same scripture from the King James Version never quoted that foods are unclean. That's Revelation, that's Romans 14, verses 14. So I invite you to compare these two scriptures. If you have these two Bibles at hand, Romans 14, verse 14 in the NIV, and Romans 14, verse 14 in the King James Version, you'll realize that the King James Version never mentioned that all foods are unclean. So this is an untruth. And ladies and gentlemen, I tell you the truth. If this minister or anyone else who listens to this concept that no foods are unclean go on eating whatever they want to eat, I can assure you that the principle of health, the principle of not following the health rules laid down in the Bible, will be a sad reality to him whoever go along with this concept. And God forbid that he should suffer the consequences of his eating habits. And if he do, be assured turning point will be the first to let you know.
Brother Paul, one other question. Did you find any other passages in the NIV that might be somewhat problematic?
Yes, there is. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 21, you will discover something that is very interesting in the NIV. That's Matthew 17, verse 19 to 22. And in the King James Version, Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 22. Would you discover in NIV that they left out verses 21 from the King James Version? The King James Version read in the King James Version of Matthew 17, 21, it says, "Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." But in the NIV, they left out the whole verse of Scripture. They jumped from verses 20 to verses 22. And what was the problem here? The problem here was the disciples were trying to cast out some demons, and they were not able to do it. And when Jesus came by, he was capable of casting out the demons. And the question they asked Jesus was, "How come you were able to do what we were not able to do?" And Jesus said, "Howbeit, you don't you know? This type of casting only comes through prayer and fasting." But for some reason, the NIV left the verse completely out, never once mentioning verse 21. So you can read it in the NIV and correspond to see if I'm telling you the truth in your King James Version, that they left out verses 20, verse 21 of Matthew 17.
Brother Renrick, when you quoted the text last, you talked about, I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. What does this fulfill mean?
What Christ is saying here, and again, that's from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17. He's saying to mankind that he didn't come to abolish the law, to do away with the law, but to bring it into its fullest meaning. What Christ did when he came and walked on this earth is that he lived an example of perfect obedience. He swept away man-made tradition that was gathered up over time by the Jewish nation. And it actually became a bondage to man and weighed down man in so many different things that he had to do in keeping the law. But Christ swept all of that away and nailed that to the cross, and not the actual Ten Commandments law that was written in stone by the hands of God.
But Paul, when we read the Ten Commandments, as the Catholic Church says in their writings, we notice that the Second Commandment reads a little bit different than the Bible reads. Is there any danger in that?
There is much danger, and as we begin to share some of the things that the Catholic Church or the papacy said in their historical teachings and their church teaching, this is not an attack against the Catholic Church or the papacy or any other denomination, so we need to say that up front. It's just educating the listeners of some of the things that are out there that they are not aware of, because a lot of ministers started to say are being paid by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ handsomely to tell us the truth, but for some reason they're hiding these strange things from us. The danger in leaving out this, as a matter of fact, they left it out, Brother Jules. They didn't just alter it. They just took it out all completely. That's the second commandment, which is found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4 to 6. And this commandment gives the danger of making images, graven images, and bowing down to them and worshiping these type of images. God said, you shouldn't bow down to them nor serve them, because he said he's a very jealous God. He wants our full attention. He said, and if you should do this, remember he would visit the iniquity of doing this upon the fathers, upon the children, upon the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. So Christ said, when you do these things, you are showing hate to him. If you love him, he said, you would not do these things. You would not bow down to these images like Mary and Peter, just to name a few of the idols that are out there that people are bowing down and worshiping at the cross. But the sad part about it that they left out is, and this is a very strong statement here in Exodus chapter 20, verse 6, written by the finger of God on tables of stone, when Jesus had been showing mercy to 1,000 of them that love me and keep my commandments. And that's very important, meaning that if you should find yourself in the circle where your parents or your grandparents or your great-great-grandparents were doing these things, God said if you would just repent, if you just confess that sin, he is faithful just to forgive you that sin, and he'll show mercies unto you and to the rest of your generation. And Jesus says it best in John 14:15, if you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments.
Brother Renrick, as we go around and we talk to people, one of the things that a lot of people like to say that the commandments was nailed to the cross. But can you tell us what was nailed to the cross, please?
Okay, this is usually a common point of misunderstanding amongst many people. But before I go into that, Brother Julian, I'd just like to quickly say that no one from Turning Point is saying that the law can be kept of our own merit or our own strength.
You know? Amen.
Every listener out there should realize that we're only able to fully keep the law through the empowering of God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank him for that. But there is a distinct difference between the law of Moses, which was the ceremonial law, and God's and the Ten Commandments law that was written by the hand of God. The ceremonial law was given because of transgression, and we see this in Daniel chapter 9, verses 10 through 11. And if I can quickly read it, it says, Daniel 9, verse 10 says, starts with, neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Verse 11, yea, all Israel have transgressed the law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So the law of Moses, or the ceremonial law, was given because of transgression. And what it did, it pointed forward to the sacrifice that Christ, that was to come, would make on the cross. And that law was nailed to the cross because it was done away with because of what Christ did on the cross. There was no need, there's no further need for any animal sacrifice, any blood offering, because Christ did all of that and fulfilled that on the cross. And that is what was nailed to the cross, not the Ten Commandments law written by the hand of God.
So when the Bible tells us that ordinances was nailed to the cross, that ordinances is not the Ten Commandments.
Absolutely.
If it's not, what is it then? What are ordinances for me?
The ordinances are the law of Moses. And again, we can look at examine the difference, and I invite the listening audience to, you know, probably just make a note, drop down a few scriptures so that you can study this for yourself. First one I'd like to give is that the ceremonial law was actually called the law of Moses, and you can find that in Luke chapter 2, verse 22. Again, it was called the ordinances by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It was written in a book, and you can find this in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 12. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15, you see that it is actually ended at the cross. The difference between this and God's Ten Commandment law can be found in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 24. And God's Ten Commandment law is actually called the law of God as opposed to the law of Moses. Mm-hmm. Again, you find in Exodus chapter 31, verse 18 and 32, verse 16, that the Ten Commandments law was written on stone as opposed to the law of Moses that were written on a book. Luke chapter 16, verse 17, we find that God's law will stand forever. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, we find that God's Ten Commandments law is not grievous to mankind. So there's a distinct difference between the ceremonial law and the law of ordinances. And finally, in Psalms chapter 19, verse 7, we find that God's law is perfect.
Amen. I'd like to make a comment on what Renok said. Ladies and gentlemen, there are two churches name I'm going to call today. I'm going to call it prayerfully and carefully. It's a church by Neil Ellis, Mount Tabor, and also the other church is by our beloved brother Miles Monroe. In these two churches, you will find a replica of the Ark of the Covenant, and which you will find that the Ark of the Covenant used to hold the law of Moses and also the law of God. The law of God that was written on stone that Brother Renok talked about used to be kept on the inside of that ark, and the ceremonial law that was written in the book that Brother Renok talked about was kept on the outside of that ark. And that same ark was not be able to be touched by anyone, because if you was to touch that ark, you would be struck down dead. And we have an example of that with Uzzah, when they were bringing back the Ark of the Covenant back, and they were rejoicing that Uzzah went out to touch the ark, and he was struck down dead. So the replica of this covenant on today is the only two places I know in the Bahamas that have this. The replica of this is Mount Tabor, like I said, and also Myers Monroe Church have a replica of this Ark of the Covenant, which still is in the courts of heaven today.
But Brother Paul, if our listeners would go on the Ten Commandments Day website, I think one of the things that we noticed when we were studying for this program was that the Ten Commandments Day Commission has not stated the commandments as they read in the Bible. They have shortened the fourth commandment as the Catholic Church has shortened the fourth commandment. Again, is there any danger in this?
There's great danger, Brother Julian. I think I need to read the commandment completely for the nation so they can hear it. And this is the way how it would be in the Ten Commandments Commission and also the Catholic Church. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, full stop. But if you continue to say 6 days, we should labor. And today, most of us labor 6 days and try to do all of our work. Some of us even work 7 days and still find ourselves more backward than forward because we are violating what God says in verse 10. But the 7 day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Not Turning Point. Not the Christian Church. Not the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But the 7 day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And in it, God says, you and I shall do any work. And he makes it so wonderful and so beautiful. He said, not only you should not work, but your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle. Nor your no one in that day. Isn't God good? He gave the whole world a spiritual day of rest.
Amen.
For 6 days, the Bible says, God made heaven, and the sea, and all that in there is, and rested the 7 day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallow it. So when you alter this commandment, you would not know who's responsible for creating what we have today, planet Earth. The trees, the birds, the fishes, everything that is here for our enjoyment, for our peace, and for our understanding, the breeze, and all these things that we take for granted, was all created in 6 days. And I believe that's the reason why the devil shortened it. The devil is a true gentleman, and he's a true general, I should say. And the devil realized that if we forget what God has told us to remember, when hellfire is ignited, we'll be a part of that. How sad.
But Renrick, I'm sure that the persons who are there listening to us, and I think you alluded to this earlier, that we are saved by keeping the law, or that it's possible for us to just keep the law. And I think sometimes people look at, especially Seventh-day Adventists, that, oh, you all believe in just keeping the law. Can you explain, are we saved by keeping the law?
Absolutely not, Brother Julian. And during my several years, my short number of years in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, I've never been taught that or never come across that teaching. But, I mean, one of the things we have to realize is that God's law is a transcript of his character. And it is perfect. And what it does is that it gives us a knowledge of sin. Can we be saved by keeping the law? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Verse 8 and 9, actually. And it says, "For grace, not by keeping the law, but for grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God, something that we don't deserve, but something that was that is offered to us and given to us because of God's goodness, something that that we cannot fully comprehend until we step into eternity. And grace does not remove the need for obedience to God's word. Okay? And that's something that, our listeners, and every believer, every person should to try to understand, that we cannot be saved by works, by keeping the law, but we are saved by grace and through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Are you saying then that a Christian who is saved will not keep the law?
Absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. A Christian that is saved would realize that he needs to be obedient to God's word, not part of God's word, not the New Testament, or not just the Old Testament, but all of God's word. And God's word includes his Ten Commandment law.
Amen. Brother Paul, we hear people talk about every day about, especially with the Seventh-day Adventist, and I don't know if anybody know, but we all here attend the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But there are there any groups who say that there was a change or there will be a change in terms of the Sabbath day?
Yes, Brother Junior, and all these names that I'm going to mention, you can find on our website. That's www.tpministries.org, and it will be under the link, "The Churches Speak." And we have comments there from the Anglicans, the Baptists, Christian Church, the Church of England, the Church of Christ, the Congregational, the Dictionary, the Disciples of Christ, the Encyclopedia, the Episcopalians, Historical Facts, the Infidels, Jehovah's Witnesses, Lutherans, Methodists. We also have miscellaneous concepts from other people that speak, the Moody Bible Institute, the Mormons, the Nation of Islam, believe it or not, and even the Presbyterians, just to name a few.
Brother Paul, we're kind of pressed for time, so we wouldn't be able to go through all of them, but I think the Baptist is the largest denomination here in the Bahamas. I think with the last census they took, they found that the majority of persons in the Bahamas have identified themselves as the Baptist. Can you tell us what the Baptists had to say on the matter?
Yes, Brother Jordan. The Baptist says, and I quote, "There was and is a commandment to keep holy the Sabbath day, but the Sabbath day was not Sunday. It would be said, however, with some show of triumph, that the Sabbath was transferred from the seventh day to the first day of the week. Where can such a record be found?" The question was asked. "Not in the New Testament. Absolutely not. There is no scriptural evidence of change of the Sabbath instituted from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week. To me, it seems unaccountable that Jesus, during his 3 years of intercession with his disciples, or his 3 years of ministries, often conversed with them about the Sabbath question, and never alluded to any transfer of the day. Also, that during his 40 days after the resurrection of his life, no such thing was said by Jesus. Of course, I quite well know that Sunday did not come into the use in the early Christian history as a religious day. It is learned that the Christian fathers are not sources. But what a pity that it came branded with the mark of paganism and Christian with the name of the sun god, when adopted and sanctioned by papal authority and handed down as a sacred legacy to all Protestant churches." That was written by Dr. T. Hiscock in November 13, 1893, in the Baptist Manual. The author, of the Baptist Manual.
Brother Renrick, today everybody will say we have internet and cell phones and satellite and all this stuff. And the question is to be asked, the commandments were given at Mount Sinai. Isn't the commandments outdated now in our modern society?
Absolutely not, Brother Julian. And I'd just like to put an example to our listening audience. What would our society, what would the world be like if we said, okay, tomorrow we're going to remove all of man's laws? We're going to take away the speed limit laws, the laws that say, okay, we shouldn't break into someone's house, whatever it may be. We just remove all of man's laws. What type of society would we have? We would have chaos. We would have things far worse than they are today. Sin and anarchy would be multiplied. And now the next question I'd like to ask our listeners would, what would the world be like if we remove God's laws? Amen. And that question can be easily answered, because churches have been teaching for many years that Christ's laws, the Ten Commandment laws, have been done away with. They've been nailed to the cross. And now, like one author said, we're reaping the whirlwind because of what we taught in the past. And we see all around us today that society and man is waxing worse and worse. And part of that reason is because the reason for that is because man has turned away from God.
All right. Brother Paul, I noticed in your list you mentioned the infidels, and that kind of interests me because I know a lot of churches you call. But I'd really like to know, what did the infidels have to say about this change?
Well, when I saw the word infidel, you know I like my dictionary, so when I look it up to be sure I had the word infidel right. And it says that a non-believer, someone with no religious beliefs. And listen to this statement they made, the infidels. Probably very few Christians are aware of the fact that what they call the Christian Sabbath Sunday is of pagan origin. The first observant of the Sunday in historical records, came in the 4th century, the infidel says, by Constantine. That's what we told you last week. The issue was not based on religious observance, but simply from a day abstaining from work. Reading, and he read and let all judges and towns rest on that day of trade, and he called this the Venerable Day of the Sun. At the time of the issue of this decree, Constantine was a sun worshiper. Did you get that? When Constantine gave the decree, the infidel says, he was a sun worshiper. Therefore, it could not have been based on religious things, but based on his sun worshiping conviction that he felt that should be a day that was set aside to do no work.
We are almost out of time. We got about 2 more minutes left. Brother Renwick and Brother Paul, I'm going to let you give your closing comments. First you, Brother Renwick, then Brother Paul. Give your closing comment on the Ten Commandments Day, etc.
Well, I'm not going to put any of my personal comments in this. I'm just going to comment with a statement from Signs of the Times magazine, and this was written on July 29, 1886. And the author says, "While we are to be in harmony with God's law, we are not saved by the works of the law, yet we cannot be saved without obedience. The law is the standard by which character is measured. We cannot possibly keep the commandments of God without the regenerating grace of Christ. Jesus alone will cleanse us from all sin. He does not save us by the law, neither will he save us in disobedience to the law."
Amen. Once again, I like to leave it to the nation, Matthew 6:33. "But seek ye first the Lord, the kingdom of God, and his right, and all the things that are needed should be added unto you."
Amen.
"Are the sheep," Jesus said, "he have nurtured out of this fold, singular, they also I must bring," says Jesus, "and there should be one fold and one shepherd." John 10:27-28, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me." John 1:2-4, "So hereby we do know that we love Jesus if we keep his commandments." Yeah. And here it says, "He knows Jesus Christ, keeping all his commandments, a liar, and the truth is not in him." Ladies, I know there are no liars there today. So once again, we ask you to join us tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on 15 for this same station. We'll be live on the air for 2 hours, taking your calls. That's tomorrow night at 8 o'clock on 15:40. Tell your friends and call for that free offer, A Time of Joy, A Day to Remember, 322-6273.
And this is Paul Miller. This is Renwick Bow, Paul Miller, and Brother Julian Miller saying, goodbye.
Let us pray. Most kind Father, we thank thee once again for another opportunity to come before you. Lord, we know that these Ten Commandments sometimes is a little bit difficult to us to understand. So we ask for your spirit and your mercy to understand what we should do to follow in your sight. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Until tomorrow night, this is Paul Miller. See you on the day.
You have been listening to Turning Point, coming to you from the Turning Point Ministries. And don't forget the special tomorrow night right here on 1540 AM ZNS One Live. If you want to participate and been wondering, you can ask all the questions tomorrow night of the team from Turning Point, the Reverend Paul Miller and his team, tomorrow night here live. Should be very exciting and informative. This is AM 1540.